In 2005, I started my job as Director of Religious Education at May Memorial. I was familiar with churches, having been ordained since 1985, but this was my first time in a UU church. The minister and I were preparing the first service of that program year, and we were walking through it. We were up front, and I turned to him and I said, "So, what do UUs call the front of the sanctuary?" He sort of cocked his head to the side and looked at me quizzically and said, "The front of the sanctuary." Sometimes churches call the front of the sanctuary the chancel, because church people like to have a different word for everything. It's not the foyer, it's the narthex. It's not the seating area, it's the nave. And so on and so on. Some of us balk at that since it is not our tradition, or it sounds too stiff, well, and really churchy, because we are a society and not a church. Now, I can move on from the language of narthex and nave and chancel, but there is one word that I would like to hang on to: sanctuary. And it's not because it's a churchy word, but because of what it means. A sanctuary is a sacred space and has come to mean any place of safety. Each Sunday we meet for service in our sanctuary. But does it provide safety, or is it a bubble separating us from what is real? I find the phrase "living in a bubble" an interesting phrase. When we say that someone lives in a bubble, we usually mean that somehow they are protected from reality, or at least a little bit removed from it. And yet, bubbles generally are such delicate things and so easily broken, I'm not sure how they provide all that much protection. My children sometimes laugh at me and tell me I live in a UU bubble, especially when they tell me stories of what other students in their school have said or done, and I react in dismay. And I have to agree, I do probably live in a UU bubble. I swear I heard Garrison Keillor once — not our biggest fan, by the way, is Garrison Keillor — but I swear I heard him describe Unitarian Universalists as people who did not know people who knew people who owned guns. Not true, of course, but it points to that perceived insularity that we sometimes have. When we live in a bubble as a way of being insulated from the world because we do not want to deal with the world, then I think that is a problem. Our reading this morning, "The Church That Does Not Matter," tells us what happens to a church that lives inside a bubble. Being in the bubble means that there is little risk, and with no risk, there is no change, no opportunity for life, for growth, for failure, for love, for all the juicy things that make life great and scary and great. But there is a difference between living in a bubble and providing a bubble. There is a difference between the denial of reality and providing a respite. There is a difference between running from reality and providing sanctuary. Let me give you an example. Many of you may have had kids or grandkids who went to Jawonio. For those of you not familiar with Jawonio, it is one of the jewels of Syracuse. It is an inclusive preschool founded in 1969, and from their website I found this description of them: "We believe strongly that all children belong in our classrooms, and that belonging is not something that must be earned through development of some prerequisite set of skills. We hope that the wide diversity of our classrooms is reflective of the diversity found in the world at large, and feel that our classrooms are greatly enriched by that diversity. In talking with children in the classroom, we share a perspective that everyone has things that they are really good at and things that they are working to learn. It is a philosophy that is resonant with our own, no? Parents who have kids that go to Juwonio, especially the kids who do not have a typical development or learning modality, often talk about the Juwonio bubble. That school works hard to meet each child where they are at and to try and provide the services that they need. There is a level of partnership between the school and the parents that is often not found in the public school system. If there is a Juwonio bubble, does that mean that somehow Juwonio is ignorant of the real world? Not at all. I did my MSW internship there, and I can assure you that the staff is well aware of what their children and families will meet when they get to public school kindergarten. But for the 2 or 3 years that they have your child, they are going to provide sanctuary, and they are going to fill your child with all the positive messages that they can. They are going to use their bubble to fill your kid up with goodness. And it is not just the kids with special needs who get filled up. Both my youngest children went there for preschool, and I have permission to tell this story. One day, Jesse brought in a special toy, a magic trick, really. It was, I don't know if you've ever seen these, a kind of furry worm on an almost invisible piece of fishing line. If you knew how to work it and move the string, you could make it seem like it was flying in midair between your hands. When your father is a magician, these are the things that you find fascinating when you are 4. Anyway, he would not be separated from that toy that day, and so I dropped him off with it, wondering what would happen. When I returned to pick him up that afternoon, it was the most hysterical sight I have ever seen. Every one of the children in that class had a very thick, furry piece of pipe cleaner attached to an orange piece of yarn, and they were all dragging them on the floor. The teachers did not look at Jesse and say, "Oh, this is going to be disruptive. We have one kid with one special toy." They looked at the situation and said, "How can we make this fun for everyone?" There is a lesson to be learned there. We can be that sanctuary, that healing place for people. We can provide a bit of a bubble. Sometimes when I meet folks who are not in this church, I sometimes get asked why I would want to work in a church. So much sadness, so much trouble, so much arguing. And although that can be true, there is a deeper truth. Again and again and again, I see church communities as places of growth. I see people deepen their faith, grow in their sense of themselves. I see people heal and learn how to love again. It is amazing to watch that, and even more amazing to know that we are part of that. The Reverend Renee Rohetsky, one of our Central East Region staff, wrote, "Sometimes living in a bubble can be a good thing. It can create a barrier between harmful things on the outside and precious things on the inside. In some ways, our congregational covenants operate this way. They help us understand that in this community, this is how we will all be together. We promise to treat one another not only with respect, but with a sense of mutuality so that each one of us can flourish. We promise to work toward becoming our best selves." I love that phrase. Promise to work to become our best selves, to learn from our mistakes and to help one another learn and grow. That really is why we have our congregational covenant, so that we can provide that bubble or sanctuary for folks while at the same time being welcoming of new folks, different folks, and trying to be the church that matters. It's complicated. Sometimes it can feel like we're patting our heads and rubbing our stomachs all at the same time. The church that doesn't matter caught on to the fact that often people find the familiar comforting. And that was the bubble they created. But comfort is not necessarily healing or growth producing. Comfort can be an ingredient in healing, but when it is the goal, I think it kills a church. As a pastor, I have to admit that sometimes when people complain to me that maybe my sermon was not so good, or the sound system was a little too squeaky, or maybe the children could be quieter, or the choir could be louder, maybe inside my head I'm not quite so loving and patient. But our reading this morning reminded me that I would much rather have a church where people complain about stuff because the church matters to them than to have a church where no one complains because nothing matters. I think we have gotten something right, and I think that is the same thing that Geronio got right. When we open our doors, we are welcoming and we are intentional in that welcoming, and we provide healing. We do this when we greet each person and do not make assumptions about them, but take the time to say, "Hello, glad you're here. What brought you?" When we take time to understand who each individual is and help them find their place here, we build not a bubble, but a sanctuary. Each community has its strengths, and I think one of the strengths of this place is the warmth of the welcome we have here. We do provide sanctuary. And what an amazing gift to the world. I have only been with this congregation a little over 2 years, but I have seen such wonderful welcome here. I have had conversations with folks who have talked to me about what this place means to them. Some of you have been here a good long while, and those stories go way back. Chalice circles you are in, or times when people have helped you move, or sat with you every Sunday after your breakup. I have talked to people who are new to our congregation, who walked through those doors wondering, who would ever like me? Why am I so different? Why can't I connect to other people? And then someone smiled at them and said, "Glad you're here. Great to see you. Have a cup of coffee." And they felt connected, and it was the first step on their healing path. What I have learned about us is the church, that this is the church where it matters, and we matter. We want to have impact and help others and ourselves. We want to be part of people's healing. This is our sanctuary, and I will proudly use that churchy word. It is not our bubble preventing us from connecting to the real world. It is not a set of blinders that keep us from seeing all of reality. It is not a cave where we hibernate. Maybe it's a blanket fort. Maybe. It is our sacred place. A place where we come for respite, for safety, for a chance to catch our breath. It is a place where we take a moment to stop, to just stop and breathe and reflect and feel. It is a place where we learn about each other and ourselves. It is a place where we connect and grow. It is a place where we heal. This is our sanctuary. In a world without end, may this be so.